Please take your Bible and turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Remember, God's word is holy, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative. Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, verse 1. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, "I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream." Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation." They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servant the dream, and we will give its interpretation." The king answered and said, "I know for certain that you would gain time, because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the God, whose dwelling is not with flesh." For this reason, the king was angry and very furious, and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. May the Lord bless the reading of his own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, your word says, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Father, help us to abide in your word. Cause us to be your disciples. Help us to learn your word. Help us to be good students of the Bible. Even now, O God, speak to us your word from the book of Daniel chapter 2. Help us to learn the truth from the text. Speak to our hearts. And may your Holy Spirit illumine the word to us. Give us understanding so that we can apply the word in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. dream. Sometimes we experience sweet dreams and sometimes horror dreams. Have you had a dream whereby you could not sleep anymore? And it troubled you for some time. There was a man who suffered much from the effect of a horrible dream. Him we will examine today. But before that, let us review what we have learned so far in Daniel chapter 1. 2,500 years ago, King Nebuchadnezzar sieged Jerusalem and brought sacred articles to Babylon, and along with some captives. Among the captives were Daniel and his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The king wanted them to be assimilated into the Babylonian culture and serve him in his palace. The king wanted to change their identities by changing their name, their Jewish name, from Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to the Babylonian name. As Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego respectively. This young man opposed the king's diet because of their religious convictions. They stood firm for their religious convictions and only ate vegetables and drank water. They went through a 3-year training program, learning the language and literature of the Chaldeans. The Lord gave Daniel and his friends knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And God gave Daniel the ability to interpret visions and dreams. So now let us continue with the narrative in Daniel chapter 2 and examine the first dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. So let us begin by looking at the first heading, restlessness. Restlessness, verse 1. Look at the opening words in Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. It was the second year of the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar in the Babylonian Empire. And King Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. As a consequence of the dreams, he experienced insomnia. He was not able to sleep. He was very troubled in his spirit. Just imagine a strong man, a powerful king, was agitated. He was troubled by his dreams. He was restless. He was anxious, according to verse 3. And thus he had no peace. King Nebuchadnezzar was a powerful man. He had fame, money, influence, status, etc. He was the king of the Babylonian Empire. Yet, none can give him peace. The dream caused him anxieties. His dream caused him to lose his sleep. He had no peace. He felt insecure. A king felt insecure. And talking about anxieties, one author provides a good insight into anxieties. she pointed out that not only a person who has plenty can be anxious, but a person who lacks can also be anxious. Listen to this quote. Quote, those of us who have plenty are anxious because we want to guarantee that there will always be plenty. Those of us who lack what others have are anxious until we have it too. Unquote. In other words, when we have plenty, we want to guarantee ourselves that we always have plenty. And as a result, we become anxious. On the other hand, those who are not rich, those who do not have plenty, they lack. When they look at others, they want to have the same things that others have. And so, they become anxious. So my friend, do not be anxious. Whether you have plenty or less, cast all your anxieties upon God who cares for you. In the case of King Nebuchadnezzar, he was more concerned about his empire. He would not want to lose his empire. His security was in his power and possession. His security was in fame and reputation. Now everything was at stake. He had everything, but no peace. The king wanted to know the meaning of this horrible dream. He would not rest until he knows the meaning of his dream. As humans, we all experience anxieties and trouble. In such times, whom should we approach? When the psalmist was troubled, whom did he approach? He approached God. Listen to this, Psalm 42, verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Whom did the troubled Nebuchadnezzar approach? He did not approach his Babylonian God, but man. So we come to the second heading, unreasonable demand, verses 2 through 11. Whenever King Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, he would command the magician, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to interpret his dream, because these were his advisors. Hence, Nebuchadnezzar commanded the magician, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to appear before him. This man appeared before King Nebuchadnezzar, and the Chaldeans praised the king, saying, O king, live forever. Verse 4. The king told them that he had a dream. And in verse 3, he tells them that he was anxious, very disturbed, and thus he was eager to know the meaning of the dream. Now the Chaldeans asked the king to tell them the dream so that they can interpret the dream. But then the king made an unreasonable demand because he did not trust them. He did not trust his advisors. He demanded that they should tell him the content of his dream and its interpretation. He wanted them to tell the content of his dream and its interpretation. does the king promise reward. The king promised reward if they would tell him the content of his dream and its interpretation, or punishment if they failed to do so. Now here the type of punishment the king warned. You shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. And then here the type of reward the king promised. You shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. But they must reveal both the content of his dream and its interpretation. Now, how did the Chaldeans reply to the king's unreasonable demand? Number one, they said, King, no man on earth has the ability to tell the king's dream. Verse 10. No man on this earth has the ability to tell the king's dream. Second, they said to the king, it was a difficult request from the king. Why? They said, no man has the ability except the gods, the Babylonian gods, who do not dwell among humans. Verse 11. In other words, they told the king that they were men and not gods. It was impossible to interpret the dream without letting them know the content of the dream. Now, when someone stands before the king, either he keeps his head or loses his head. No king accepts a no to his demand. The king expected the wise man, the advisors in his court, to reveal the content of his dream and its interpretation. An unreasonable king made an unreasonable demand, and he became unreasonably angry. So we come to the third heading, unreasonable anger. Unreasonable anger, verse 12. Anger is one emotion we all struggle with, don't we? Remember when God accepted Abel's offering and not Cain's offering, what happened? Genesis chapter 4. Cain became angry and he killed his brother Abel. And that was the first murder that took place on earth after God created man after his own image. See, anger can lead to murder. Anger can lead to murder. Today we hear shootings and killings as a result of anger. When the advisors did not give the king a favorable answer, King Nebuchadnezzar became very angry. Look at verse 12. For this reason the king was angry and very furious. Why did King Nebuchadnezzar become angry? Why did King Nebuchadnezzar become angry? As a king, he could not take for a no to his demand. He did not trust God, for he did not believe in the true living God. He trusted man, but the man let him down. That's why Psalm 118 verse 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Did you hear that? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. So do not put confidence in man. Already the king agitated because of the dream. He was restless. He was anxious to know the meaning of the dream. And he was angry. He was unreasonably angry. Now, how can someone tell the content of your dream? That is impossible. I cannot tell the content of your dream unless you tell me. The Chaldeans were partly right and partly wrong. Look at verse 11. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the God whose dwelling is not with flesh. The Chaldeans were right because no one on earth can tell the content of the king's dream. The Chaldeans were wrong in the sense that because the Babylonian God cannot tell the content of the king's dream. The Babylonian God were false gods and do not exist. Only the true and living God of Daniel can reveal the content of the king's dream. An unreasonable king made an unreasonable demand, and he became unreasonably angry. What was the hasty action of the king? So we come to the fourth heading, hasty punishment. Hasty punishment, verse 13. An angry man cannot think well. An angry man cannot think well. Thus the king made a hasty decision. King Nebuchadnezzar made a hasty decision. Look at verse 12. For this reason the king was angry and very furious, and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. The king gave a hasty command to kill all the wise men in Babylon. Do you see? That anger leads to murder. And these are hard issues. Listen to Jesus, what he said about the source of murder. Where does murder come from? And we heard the passage read a while ago from Mark chapter 7 verses 20 through 23. Listen very carefully. And Jesus said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man? What comes out of a man that defiles a man? From within, out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. These are the words of Christ. Christ is telling us, where does murder come from? From the heart. Let us not underestimate what the Bible says about the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that is found in Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9. So my friend, guard your heart. King Nebuchadnezzar had a desperately wicked heart. His anger triggered him momentarily to issue death punishment to all the wise men in Babylon. And the king's command was executed. the decree went out, and they began killing all the wise men. What caused the king to come to this extent? What caused the king to come to this extent? All because of a dream that occurred one night on his head. And that dream disturbed him greatly, and many heads of the wise men in Babylon went rolling. What a tragedy. What a disaster. What wickedness. And then look at verse 13. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. What has the king's dream got anything to do with Daniel and his friends? They sought to kill them too. Now, would they be killed? Well, we will find out the next time. Now, talking about life, only God has the right to give life and take life. No human being has the right to take the life of another person. Even the king does not have the right. Because we are all created in the image of God. Taking the life of someone, listen to this very carefully. Taking the life of someone is a direct attack on the image of God. And that is found in Genesis chapter 9 verse 6. Let me read that quickly. Genesis chapter 9 verse 6. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he made man. So taking the life of someone is a direct attack on God's image. So remember, life is a gift. We must value it. It's our duty to preserve our life and the life of our neighbors. Man must uphold the sanctity of life, even the unborn baby in the mother's womb. Well, we examine this text under four headings. Number one, restlessness. Number two, unreasonable demand. Number three, unreasonable anger. Number four, hasty punishment. So let me say this before we leave this text. Who gave the dream to King Nebuchadnezzar? God. God gave the dream to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king did not know the content of the dream and its interpretation. He did not know what might transpire. He did not know God, and he was anxious and troubled about the future. So I want to ask you, are you troubled? Are you anxious? Are you restless? We do not have to be troubled about the future, like King Nebuchadnezzar. We cannot know everything that is happening in our life presently. But we can be assured that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And we can rest in Jesus. Listen to the words of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Hence, in Jesus we can find rest for our souls.
We do not have to find peace elsewhere. We don't have to find peace in our money, in our work, in our possessions, in our fame, status, and so on. We can find rest in Jesus. We can find peace in Jesus, because Jesus is our peace. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, especially Daniel chapter 2. Lord, King Nebuchadnezzar was troubled and was restless and had no peace because of his dream. And he did not trust in the true and living God. But we believe in the true and living God. Lord, grant us rest and peace in Christ Jesus, no matter what kind of circumstances we might face. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.